Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle. Today we'll be going over our week 6 slated games. We have the return of MSFL action as well as 3 CSFL games for the weekend. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. First game we'll go over is Army versus Stack. Army won this one 43-0. Currently, at the time of recording, it is 9-23, October 22nd. There currently is not a box score available, so no exact statistics. I did watch the game, so I have a good idea of, you know, how everything went down, of course. But again, no exact statistics at this point in time, as there is not a box score available. 10:22, 9:23 a.m., so we'll see how long it takes them to get that in. But I digress. So again, indicative of the score, Army was in control from start to finish. A very bad weather. Been a lot of bad weather games this time of year in the CSFL. Not that that's uncommon, but it seems like every weekend it's been either a windstorm or a rainstorm for the teams up and down the East Coast in the CSFL. But that did not stop the Army offense. Senior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie scored very, very early. He found senior wide receiver Maurice Belan for a touchdown going in. I believe it was in the red zone. Freshman running back Arthur Lavalis, who has had a strong freshman season, added another rushing touchdown and brings his season total to 4. And then junior defensive back Jonathan Abrahams recorded his first career interception in the game. So big time plays from the junior, from the freshman, and the seniors. I believe it was also Army's senior night as well. Lots of senior nights across the league during this one. Again, outside of that, there's no exact statistics. Luke Gigliotti did his thing as a mic backer, and lots of plays from the Army offense and the defense. Just again, no exact statistics at this time. As for St. Thomas Aquinas, again, really hard to give credit where it's due without the box score. Struggled offensively, high power offense. The weather conditions definitely didn't help them. Nair Jones, if I remember correctly, did make some plays, had one or two catches, go out of bounds, didn't get credit for those, but he was one of the main guys, going out there for Kenny as a main target, trying to produce some offense. Again, not a lot, even with the box score there, 43-0 loss, but can't really dive too deep into this one without that. So Army won this one 43-0. They go into their bye week before they take on Caldwell to end their regular season. And then St. Thomas Aquinas next week is back at home to welcome Mansfield for their last home game of their season. Next up, we have Navy versus Chestnut Hill. Navy won this one 48-7. My player of the game is senior quarterback Brandon Atwood. He threw for 163 yards with 4 touchdowns. Also added 74 rushing yards on the ground. So Navy moved the ball at will through the air and on the ground in this one. Again, Atwood played lights out, having one of the better games of his season, one of the better games of his career in terms of touchdowns. 4 touchdowns, 163 yards. Again, been very consistent running the ball when his number is called, 74 yards on the ground. The Navy rushing attack has been dominant all season. This game was no different. 4 ball carriers had 40-plus yards or more in this one. So very, very well-rounded running game for the midshipmen. It's been that way all season. Freshman running back Hunter Genix was the leading rusher in this one. He had 115 for 1 touchdown. I believe that's career highs for the freshmen. So definitely positive production from their whole stables, from their seniors, from Victor Otero, to their freshmen like Hunter Genix. Definitely had a productive day on the ground for Navy. Senior wide receiver Job Long was leading receiver on the day. He had 7 for 59 but with 2 touchdowns. So one of the better games for the senior. And then on defense, senior linebacker Jack Costigan led the team with 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. a long interception return from senior defensive back Dante Carrasco really, really put it out of reach for Chestnut Hill and helped Navy extend their lead. So dominant both sides of the ball from Navy on this one and all facets of the offense as well. Navy hits the road next week to visit Cornell as the season begins to wind down. Flip side of this one, we have Chestnut Hill. Despite the score, Chestnut Hill did manage to create some offense. Sophomore quarterback Anthony Cancellari threw for 148 yards, no touchdowns with one interception. And then backup quarterback C.J. Small, senior quarterback C.J. Small came into the game, added another 91 yards. So over 200 passing yards for Chestnut Hill in this one. Did not necessarily turn into touchdowns, turned into points, but they were able to throw the ball somewhat effectively against a pretty strong Navy defense. Sophomore running back Zaire Pinnell led the team on the ground with 42 rushing yards. And then freshman wide receiver Nazir Bryant was the go-to target through the air. He had the best game of his young career. He had 4 receptions for 61 yards. Defensive side of the ball, sophomore linebacker Lex Williams had a game-high 11 tackles. Williams has been the leading tackler for the Griffins so far this season, and I believe now he's entered the top 10 in total tackles on the season between the MSFL and the CSFL. It has a season total of 43 right now. So Williams has continually been one of the staples for this Griffins defense as he mans the middle, as Chestnut Hill looks to finish the season with some positive momentum. Chestnut Hill takes the short drive to Franklin Field to go play Penn in their second matchup of the season. Next up, we have Mansfield versus Cornell. Mansfield won this one 22-7. Now, my player of the game is junior quarterback Kasid Raymond, as well as senior running back Terrence Quaker. Raymond threw for 127 yards with one touchdown. Also added 110 rushing yards on the ground with another touchdown. And senior running back Terrence Quaker had 86 rushing yards, one touchdown, and then 3 receptions for 55 yards and one touchdown. So Mansfield, another team that had their senior night, I believe it was Navy senior night as well. Mansfield leaned on their 2-star playmakers, you know, to win this game. It's no question it's no question really in terms of who's going to be the main sources of production for Mansfield. It's going to be Raymond and Quaker. If they can get something out of Swan, if they can get something out of Randall, it's really, really going to help the offense. But Raymond and Quaker from this season, dating back to even last season, are just the two main playmakers that this offense has. Again, since Raymond's returned, Mansfield offense has looked a lot better. Threw for 127 with a touchdown. No interceptions in this one, which is really, really big. Interceptions have played a big role in Mansfield's last few games, whether they force some turnovers or they turn the ball over themselves. No interceptions for Raymond or fumbles for Raymond in this one is definitely a trend they would like to see continue. Also added 110 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown. So Raymond continues to electrify for the Mansfield offense. Flip side of that, his partner in crime, senior running back Terrence Quaker, continues to prove he's one of the most versatile and valuable assets in the CSFL. Quaker finished with 141 all-purpose yards with 2 touchdowns, 1 on the ground and 1 through the air. So big, big day for the senior on his last game, I believe, at Mansfield's home field. I believe they're going to finish the season back-to-back road games. So big ups for those offensive players and getting the job done on defense. Junior linebacker Gavin Hidman led the team with 11 tackles. That's his third double-digit tackle game for the junior linebacker. So he's definitely been a guy who's been able to produce for the Mansfield defense despite the ups and downs they've experienced throughout the season. Mansfield hits the road next week to match up with St. Thomas Aquinas. Flip side of this one, we have Cornell. Cornell continues to struggle this season as they search for their first win. Senior quarterback Cooper Wise threw for 53 yards. No interceptions, no touchdowns. Also ran for 61 yards with 1 rushing touchdown, their lone score of the day. So definitely not, you know, heading in the right direction in terms of offensive production, especially passing the ball. Running the ball, Cornell actually probably had their best game of the season. They ended the game with 147 rushing yards between three ball carriers, including Wise. So they were able to run the ball quite effectively, just weren't able to produce points from that. So there is something positive to take out of this game for Cornell. Again, the rushing attack going off, but outside of that, there's not quite much in terms of improvement from last season. Despite an early season, very close game, which they almost won against Caldwell, there hasn't been that positive momentum built since that game to open up the year. On defense, senior linebacker Michael Moser, the team with 8 tackles, 1.5 TFLs. So Cornell heads back home next week to welcome Navy. We're going to go ahead and hop right into our MSFL action. Start off with St. Mary DeWoods College versus Quincy. St. Mary DeWoods won this one 28-14. My player of the game is freshman running back Darren Hazard. He had 67 yards on the ground with 2 rushing touchdowns. So St. Mary DeWoods managed to pull this one out despite a lot of turnovers from the Pomeroys. Junior quarterback Jeremiah Toski had one of his least productive games of the year. He only threw for 80 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. And this is, you know, quite the game coming off of, you know, it's a bye week in between, but just one game removed from a 400-plus yard, 7 total touchdown game to come out first game out of the bye week, throw under 100 yards, just 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions is definitely not the performance they were looking for. And they ultimately still won the game, but that's something they're definitely going to have to improve in if they hope to finish the season strong and in a position to compete for that MSFL championship, which they're still in position to, but definitely not the performance that they were looking for from their offense, from their quarterback. The running game, however, continues to be a strong point of emphasis for St. Mary DeWoods, and it's been where they had the most consistent success spread out throughout the whole season. 171 yards on the ground as a team. Again, efforts led by Darren Hazard. Team high 67 yards with 2 rushing touchdowns. So I believe the Pomeroys now have maybe 4 or 5 offensive players who have at least 2 or 3 touchdowns on the season in terms of rushing the ball, with Toski leading the way, I think, with 5. So big, big emphasis on running the ball there. They have 7 guys with at least 1 rushing touchdown, 5 guys with at least 2 rushing touchdowns. So definitely a big emphasis there. It's been a big catalyst for their success, not just this year, but also last year as well. And with the addition of guys they added to Patrick Pereira, who was their lead back last year, they definitely have a strong, strong stable of running backs that have been wreaking havoc across the league in the MSFL. Defensive side of the ball, sophomore defensive back Elias De Jesus led the team with 7 tackles. Also had an interception to help swing the momentum in the Pomeroys' favor. And then sophomore linebacker Jake Skinner also had 7 tackles, but he added 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, and 1 fumble recovery. So St. Mary DeWoods defense held on to keep the Quincy offense down, ultimately secure the victory. St. Mary DeWoods hits the road next week to take on Walsh in Ohio. Quincy hung in there for a lot of this game, just ultimately couldn't get it done. They didn't have the most clean game either in terms of turnovers, and ultimately I think that, you know, helped St. Mary DeWoods College escape with the victory. Freshman quarterback Deuce Alloway threw for 148 yards with 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Alloway has been very, very impressive so far throughout the season, especially in relief of sophomore quarterback Manzo up with the Quincy Hawks, but still struggling to string together multiple good games in a row. But that's what you're going to get with young quarterbacks. All of these young quarterbacks across all of the league have had their ups, have had their downs, but Alloway's definitely been a net positive player for the Hawks, despite the inaccuracy and the turnover issues in this one. Young quarterback also didn't get helped by the offensive line. He did get sacked 4 times. It's going to be hard to win games when you're getting sacked that many times, so the Pomeroy's defense is quite impressive. Running the ball, however, much like the Pomeroys, has been something that the Hawks have been really good at throughout the entire season, especially when they have junior running back C.J. Jackson, who has been dealing with some injuries since week one, where he exploded onto the scene. This is his most impressive game since that opening weekend game. I mean, he ran for 98 yards with two rushing touchdowns. So the Quincy rushing game is noticeably more explosive when Jackson's in the lineup. I mean, he's played the last two or three weeks as well, but clearly not the same, not the amount of touches, not the same amount of net yards, yards per carry, things like that you would use to evaluate a running back. But when things are clicking for them, things are clicking for him, and vice versa. When things are clicking for him, things are clicking for the Hawks offense as a whole. So definitely going to be an emphasis for Quincy going down the stretch, finding creative ways to continue to get him involved and also maintaining his health as they finish up the season will really put them in a good position to compete as seeding starts to get finalized in the MSFL. Sophomore wide receiver Camden Pye opened up the game with a big 72-yard reception. He ended the game with 74 on two receptions. The Hawks' offense in terms of passing the ball, whether it's Manzo or Alloway, has been very, very evenly distributed between their four receivers. They have a couple of guys now over 100 yards on the season. Besides Pye, I believe they also have Xavier Hinton, Nasir Carson, Xavier Carr. All of these guys have over 100 receiving yards on the season, and I think all but one or two of them have at least one touchdown as well. So very even across the board for their receiving core, and it just makes them that much more dangerous having so many guys that are capable playmakers. Sophomore defensive lineman Owen Kiso led the team with 9 tackles on the defensive side of the ball. Quincy stays on the road next week as they go take a visit to play Oakland City. Next up, we have Bellarmine versus Walsh. Bellarmine stays undefeated as they win this one 36-26. My player of the game is freshman running back Derek Gant. He had 13 yards on the ground with one rushing touchdown, as well as 4 receptions for 94 yards through the air and 1 receiving touchdown. So Bellarmine did manage to hold on despite a late push from a young wild card Walsh team. Freshman quarterback Luke Worley threw for 200 yards with 2 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Did throw 2 interceptions, but the young quarterback has looked a lot more comfortable as the season has gone on. Again, from his first game, less than 10 yards passing to where he is now, is night and day, complete 180. You know, offense in terms of the passing game is still developing, but he individually, just as a guy in terms of who's going to move the ball, you know, as your lead quarterback, he's definitely looked more consistent, pushing the ball downfield, confident on his throws, less chaotic once the play breaks down. Definitely grown more comfortable from game one to game five. And you can see it whenever you turn on a game and when you turn on the tape and you look at his previous level of play. But the guy who won them the game ultimately as an offensive player is freshman running back Derek Gant. You know, absence of Brennan Reed, Gant has been a guy who's been, you know, that second type of player, different type of running back than Reed. It's a lot smaller, like a lot faster, a lot quicker, more explosive type of guy. Weapon X, sort of very similar in the mold of like a Terrence Quaker or Reed back for Army, or trying to think of some other guys in the past, like Ravon Floyd Bennett in the past for Chestnut Hill. And those Weapon X running back, receiver, you know, split him out 50-50 between both spots. So maybe a kick returner as well. He's been that guy for them so far in his freshman season. And he has not disappointed. 107 all-purpose yards, 2 touchdowns as the feature back on the day. Again, should definitely be utilized a lot going down a stretch, especially with or without Reed. For some of these games, Gant could be a guy who could really end the season with a bang and have some explosive totals as he sees an uptick in targets and utilization. Freshman linebacker Luke Jackson led the way on the defensive side of the ball. He had 7 tackles, half a tackle for loss. And then junior defensive lineman Michael Miller was very disruptive up front. 4 tackles, 1.5 TFLs, and 1.5 sacks. I believe Miller is their sack leader on the season for Bellarmine. Bellarmine stays home next week for a matchup with Font Bonnie. Next up, we have Walsh, who played very well on the other side of this one. defense almost won them the game. Defense generated some of the points and put the offense in position to score points. And you can't ask for anything else. Again, as they continue to mature, definitely going to be a dangerous team on both sides of the ball. Sophomore quarterback Kyree Fox threw for 77 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Not the best game. Continuing to grow and develop, just like a lot of these young offenses are with young quarterbacks. Freshman wide receiver Keon Hawkins-Sims, who is, again, usually the leading receiver for the team, was the main source of rushing yards on the day. The freshman had a team-high 42 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown. So showing his versatility and how effective he may be for the Cavaliers moving forward as an offensive weapon. Strongest part of the day, again, though, was the defense. If they did win the game, it would have been hard to give one individual guy, you know, the player of the game, just because they all played so well. Freshman defensive lineman Alaquan Harris had a team-high 9 tackles. Also had 2 tackles for loss with half a sack. And then freshman defensive lineman Tiena Sellers had a great day. 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 fumble recovery, 1 forced fumble, with an 81-yard touchdown return. So that put points on the board for the Cavaliers. You know, definitely strong signs from some of these young players, particularly their front 7 players in this one. But a lot of their back-end guys had strong performances. Jordan Pete, you know, had a 3-interception game not too long ago. So definitely a lots of young, explosive talent on this Cavalier defense that should continue to play better as this season goes on and should be dangerous moving forward as Walsh continues to develop as a team. Walsh stays home next week to welcome St. Mary of the Woods College. Next up, we have Midway versus Oakland City. Midway wins this one 20-12. My player of the game is sophomore defensive back Brady Bond. He had 6 tackles, 2 interceptions with 1 PBU to secure the game for Midway. Another game where the guys who were trailing really almost stole it. Now, Midway outlasted a young Oakland City team who, again, is still searching for their first win but played very well in this one, all things considered. Freshman quarterback Keegan Hill threw for 102 yards with 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Freshman running back Matthew Young led the way on the ground as he had 76 yards and 1 touchdown. So Young and Hill have really proven to be a nice duo for Midway that should continue to improve as the years go on. Again, young quarterback mistakes, turnovers. You know, you're going to get that with Hill. You're going to get that with Fox. You're going to get that with Lee. You're going to get that with Worley. You're going to get that with all of these freshmen starting. Even on some of the teams that are in their second year, it just comes with the territory. You kind of have to just muscle through it. And these quarterbacks will be better, and offenses will be better for these early trials and tribulations. They'll be better for it later in their careers as the programs and the individual players continue to develop and mature, and Hill is no different. Same thing for Young. He's been one of the young running backs to really make a name for himself so far this season. It doesn't have the highest totals on the year, but he's their most consistent, you know, offensive ball carrier week in and week out. And again, he should be a guy to continue to improve as the years go on. On defense, Midway has some guys really, really step up. Again, ultimately were the reason that they were able to hold on and win this game. Sophomore linebacker Luke Guerrero led the team with 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Freshman defensive lineman Peyton Brazier had 7 tackles with a team-high 3 tackles for loss. And his sophomore defensive back, Brady Bond, had one of the best games of his career. He ended the night with 6 tackles, again, 2 interceptions with the 1 PBU. So Midway was able to hold on in this one. Oakland City, you know, almost stole it for them, but Midway gets their second win of the season. Midway hits the road next week to visit CCSJ. Other side of this one, we have Oakland City. Again, Oakland City made a run at it, just couldn't overcome that Midway defense. Freshman QB Jacob Lee had a career-high 239 yards passing with a touchdown, but he did throw 3 interceptions. So Lee threw, again, an electrifying number, one of the highest totals in the MSFL and the CSFL of the week, but it is kind of offset with the 3 interceptions. His main target on the day was freshman Adorno Luna, who also had a career day. He had 7 receptions for 139 yards with 1 touchdown. Luna also lended his efforts to Oakland City's defensive efforts in securing 1 interception to help the defense try and keep things close. So Luna really blew up on the scene. He's been a guy who, I don't know if he hasn't played or just has been quiet early in the season, but this was the best game of his career on both sides of the ball. Very, very, you know, at this midway point through the season. So definitely exciting for him and exciting to see what he can do for this team on both sides of the ball, maybe, or just one or the other, as Oakland City hopes to finish out the season strong. Freshman linebacker Darius Pope led the way on defense. He had 8 tackles with 1.5 TFL. So Oakland City couldn't quite get it done and still searching for their first win in program history. But there's always a flash. They always have a guy or one or two guys do have some production that makes you say, okay, like it's something here. You know, this player is definitely going to be an all-league guy, if not this year moving forward, or this guy can really turn into something. So they have talent. You know, this team is not devoid of talent. It's just a maturation process. You know, I say it pretty continuously. You gotta take your licks. Like, that's just how the game go. You got to charge it to the game. So they'll definitely be better moving forward, and they still have some opportunities to get their first win this season. Oakland City heads home as they welcome Quincy. And then we have our last action of the weekend. We have CCSJ versus Fontbonne. CCSJ wins this one 19-6. My player of the game is sophomore linebacker Trevor Boosie. He finished the game with 12 tackles and 3.5 TFLs. CCSJ won this one on the back of their defense. You know, no doubt about it. Offensively, the Crimson Wave are struggling, to be quite honest, in terms of producing points consistently and definitely throwing the ball. This game was no different. Three quarterbacks that played for CCSJ combined for just 7 yards on one completion. I believe they went 1 for 15 total. So definitely not a strong point of their offense this year. Running the ball consistently has, if you look at last year and so far this year, Elijah Antis is their leading rusher on the season. Was not the leading rusher on the day today, or last night, that is. Freshman quarterback Javion Lewis and sophomore defensive back Nino Barbosa both contributed a rushing touchdown for the Crimson Wave. And Barbosa is one of their more explosive players, one of their primary returners. Very, very good defensive back for them as well. So he lended his talents to the offense to help produce some positive offensive yardage. But again, overall, just struggling offensively to get anything consistently put together. And they're having to really rely on some of their better athletes on either side of the ball just to manufacture some productive offense. That being said, the defense has been playing lights out for most of the season. If the offense has been able to, you know, consistently have a well-balanced attack, maybe they win some of these games and they keep their defense off of the field. But in this one, the defense stepped up and had to do what they had to do. Sophomore linebacker, again, Trevor Boosie, 12 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss. And then sophomore linebacker Alexander DeLucia had 9 tackles, 4 tackles for loss with 1 sack. And, you know, this duo has been really, really good for them all year, despite the struggles, as well as Barbosa and then Quintarius Davis. They've been 4 players who've played lights out for their position. Not a lot of guys ahead of them at their position. I think almost all of these guys are probably top 5, definitely top 10 at their positions between the MSFL and the CSFL. So they're a team with a lot of talent. They just haven't been able to quite find it yet offensively, where defensively they've been doing what they had to do, doing what they're asked to do. You know, they're playing best on best, and a lot of times they're coming away with, you know, positive plays on the defensive side of the ball. They just haven't quite clicked offensively the way that they would have hoped to pair up with a really, really good defense. So CCSJ stays home next week as they welcome Midway. Other side of this one, we have Fontbonne. Again, Fontbonne has struggled to get consistent offense or have good, consistent offensive games where they'll produce. But again, struggling with the turnover bug a little bit. Again, freshman quarterback Tamash Taylor, who has an explosive arm. very, very explosive arm, can really push the ball down the field, just struggling with the turnovers just a little bit. But again, got to take your licks. That's what you're going to get when you have a young team with a freshman quarterback starting at the helm. He threw for 172 in this one, one touchdown, but two interceptions. So again, Taylor can really, really push the ball down the field, but the Griffins are going to need to cut down on the turnovers as this playoff seeding is starting to really shake into place, and they're going to need some strong performances these last two or three games to rectify this season and be where they want to be by time the season ends. Freshman running back KJ Burns led the team with three receptions for 88 yards and a touchdown. He's been a guy who's been up and down, but he's played very, very well. To compliment Chris Reckle, the Griffins tended to perform better offensively. Freshman defensive back Jeremiah Dorsey had a productive game. He led the team with 13 tackles, 1.5 TFLs. And then sophomore linebacker Avion Bass was right behind him, adding 12 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. So Bass and Dorsey, along with the CCSJ pair of linebackers, have been very, very strong all season. Those are two guys who are going to be really, really important pieces there going down the stretch and are going to need to produce, in from an individual point of view, have a lot of production as the Griffins, again, look to shake out this playoff season and end in a favorable spot. So Fompon hits the road again next week as they go take on Bellarmine. So that wraps up our action for this weekend. Some close games, some blowouts, everything in between. Bad weather, great weather. So as the season starts to wind down, it's looking clearer and clearer, you know, who's going to be where and what teams are going to finish. The CSFL looking like it's going to be another rematch of Army versus Navy, last year's championship game. And then the MSFL, it's still not quite clear. Bellarmine's undefeated. You know, St. Mary the Woods has the one loss. You know, Quincy now has the two losses. Fompon now has the two losses. So we may start seeing how those things are going to finalize, you know, in the next week or two. So as always, I'm your host, Kyle. Thank you guys for joining me. Talk to you guys next week. Peace.